Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, July the 29th, 2022. 14 minutes past the hour, 67 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Marion. Not a bad day at all. Yesterday was a great day. It's a real getaway Friday, too. Last Friday in the month of July. Can you imagine that? Last day I'll be on the air in the month of July. Monday, August the 1st. The summer just keeps on blowing right by. I'm glad everybody got their tickets yesterday. We've had some good winners the last few days. Reggie Dutton got the Kids Bop tickets to the Ohio State Fair. Judy Summers got the Nelly tickets to the Ohio State Fair. And Diana got the Foreigner tickets to the Ohio State Fair. Now, we have got more tickets to give away today. We've got Nelly. We've still got tickets to Nelly tomorrow night, Saturday night. We've got tickets to Foreigner tonight at the Ohio State Fair. And we also have tickets for Drew Hill, which I believe is the Sunday night show at the Ohio State Fair. Yeah, Sunday, July the 31st will be Drew Hill. So we also have tickets to that show. Now, we will start giving those tickets away this morning at 10:15 a.m. 10:15 a.m. until 1 p.m. this afternoon, we'll be giving away tickets to Foreigner. We'll be giving away tickets to Drew Hill. We'll be giving away tickets to Nelly. All you have to do is tune in and be able to pick those tickets up today, so you can go to those particular shows. So stay tuned from 10 a.m. until 1 o'clock today. Now, we also have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker coming up this morning from 9:10 a.m. until 10 a.m. That's always a lot of fun to listen to. Pastor Whitaker always has a very unique perspective on things that we look forward to hearing on this program. So he will be coming up at 9:15 today. Also, don't forget that Angie Evers and I will be on tonight from 8:10 until 10 p.m. on this station. Angie should be back tonight. I think she's feeling okay today. And we'll have a lot to talk about. Who knows? We might have ticket giveaways tonight. You never know what's going to happen here on WWGH Radio. Also wanted to say that I got a picture in the mail. Well, email, actually, this morning. It's a picture of my ancestors, and I'm not even sure really how far this goes back. This would have been my grandmother's, my mother's mother. This would have been her family. So this would have been, I'm trying to think how this would have been. This would have been her mother's mother. So how does that work for me? Okay, my grandmother, great-grandmother, so it would be great-great-grandmother. It would be that family. There were six sisters? Yeah, six sisters. Mary, Arvilla, Reva, Nettie, Hattie, and Nellie. And then the father of all these women, Alonzo, is also in this picture. I'm not sure what year this was taken. It would have had to have been maybe the 30s or the 40s, because the girls do not look that old. But it's a very interesting picture to see many generations of your family go back this far. But certainly, I loved seeing that show up in the email this morning. You know, family history is very interesting to me on a lot of levels, and that certainly is one of them. Now, we were supposed to have a guest here this morning, so hopefully our guest does call in this morning, because it's somebody I want to talk to before they round out their tenure today here in Marion. So hopefully we'll get a chance to do that here momentarily. 19 minutes past the hour, July 29th, 67 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Boy, did we have a lot of calls yesterday. I didn't get a chance to listen to Glenn's show. I know he was giving away tickets, I think, to the Drew Hill show. Oh, I think our call is coming in here this morning. And as we continue this morning here on WWGH Radio, in our first hour this morning, we're joined by a gentleman who has been on the program many, many times over the last few years. But today he is getting ready to wrap it up, as they say, his last official day as the superintendent of the Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi. Dr. Arusi, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good to hear from you.
Here we are, the final day. What's it feel like?
Well, you know, it's kind of bittersweet. Obviously, I'm, you know, moving on and moving southward and looking forward to that. But, you know, really going to miss, you know, a lot of the relationships that I've been able to build in Marion City and the work that's gone on there. I'm sure that, you know, Steve Mazzi and his new crew are doing all they can to get up to speed and running. Feel pretty good about, you know, going into this year, and things are in place to continue to do the work we need to do for the kids in Marion City.
For those who had not read the newspaper article or listened when you came back on, I think it was back in May, why have you decided to leave?
Pardon me?
Why have you decided to leave?
Well, again, you know, I just think it's that time in my career. You know, as you know, many people recall, I was able to retire from the state teacher retirement system last year and had some conversations with the board, you know, about that, because I think at that point the board was interested in, you know, making sure that the work that we were doing would continue to go on. And so, you know, that was the opportunity for us to be, you know, to have a mutual agreement to be able for me to retire at that point, but then to stay on and continue the work. And I think, you know, it just got to the point for me that, you know, I think I was ready, you know, ready for something different. Probably leaving education altogether, because there's some opportunities down in Florida for me to do some work down there outside of education. So, you know, for me, it's a chance to kind of re-energize and refocus some of the things I'm doing, and not just helping kids, but helping others build their communities. So, you know, I think it was about that time to be able to do that. I know that, you know, a lot of people have made those decisions lately because of, you know, the changes that have occurred and, you know, what the pandemic's effect has been. You know, it's been stressful for a lot of people. And so I think a lot of people are making those changes. I mean, not just in education, but even career-wise. I think they call this the Great Resignation right now. So that's been going on even around the country. So for me, it was just you know, something I thought about a lot. And but I feel good again about, you know, the things that are in place and the direction that Marion City is headed. But, you know, there's obviously some issues there, too, that, you know, I wouldn't mind having that conversation with a lot of people about my thoughts on what needs to happen.
You know, it's very interesting you bring that up, because what we are seeing a lot of in the newspapers, you know, we went through the pandemic, mm-hmm. not that it's not still going on, but certainly rough times. But here we are in 2022, and we're learning about Marion City Schools losing between 40 and 60 employees when you count administrative positions. A lot of those positions still not filled. Bus routes being eliminated because of a shortage of bus drivers. What has happened in Marion City?
Well, and I think, you know, a lot of people think because, you know, they're just living in Marion City, that this is unique to Marion City. And it's really not, Scott. I mean, if you look, this is happening all over the country. There are teacher shortages right now. There are shortages of bus drivers. There are shortages of teacher aides. You know, there's inflation that's going on right now, and, you know, some of the salaries and benefits that are, we're still stuck in the Stone Ages, pretty much, in education, and people are, you know, just making the decision to either go out on their own or make a career change. You know, and it really isn't. I mean, obviously, I know that there's articles in the newspaper because there's, you know, a change in the board and maybe, you know, some different philosophies and those kinds of things. And, you know, in the process of developing that shared vision, it makes it seem like it's you know, complete chaos, and that's why people are leaving. But I think there's a multitude of variables that go along with that as far as what's happening in Marion City. But, you know, you brought up a good point. There's been a lot of articles, you know, about people leaving. There's been articles about the discipline situation in Marion City. You know, at some point, Scott, you know, the community, and I give a lot of credit to the chief of police, who gave a great speech at Rotary talking about Marion. And, you know, the perception of, though, it's, you know, woe is me kind of attitude about Marion City. But one of the things we have to come, you know, to terms with, and I've read a lot of the comments on the articles, and a lot of people say, hey, parents need to step up. They need to, you know, really make sure their kids go to school prepared to learn and do some of those things. You know, the reality of the situation since I've been in Marion is that many of our kids just do not have the support they need at home. And we cannot control some of those variables. And at some point in time, you know, that conversation has to happen about, you know, how do we support these kids? How do we get them ready to learn? How much of it is our responsibility as a school district to make sure they get what they need, regardless of the situation they have at home? Because we have, you know, we have 100% free and reduced lunch. Obviously, you know, we have a drug addiction problem. We have trauma-impacted youth. Those kinds of things are typically the result of, you know, not a great family situation. And we can't control those family situations, but we're still responsible for educating those children the best we can. And so that's got to be a part of the conversation. You know, I've tried to you know, voice that concern along the way, is that we're never going to really change. We're never going to be successful with handling discipline within the schools until we do something to support families and what's going on at home.
Not to dive too deep into this, but I think people are interested, because a lot of people listening right now, their kids, grandkids, nieces mm-hmm. and nephews go to Marion City schools. And certainly I don't think anybody would deny that other schools are facing very similar problems. But I think one of the issues here in Marion, for people who listen, we're unique in the size of the county is 65,000 people. We have mm-hmm. five school districts. And yep. The other four, you don't see any stories like this when it comes to loss of positions or elimination of bus routes, or all the stories that came out of the board changes that went on at the beginning of the year, a resignation of the president, having to go to a judge to get that position filled. And then we had the resignation of the assistant superintendent. Your resignation came. The president of city council, who worked for Marion City Schools, he resigned. It just seems different with Marion City Schools. Now, is that more of a media perception than the other four districts, or what is that?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it, Scott. I mean, I really do. I mean, obviously, Marion City Schools is kind of the focal point, really, of the community. I mean, you know, there's obviously different things that happen within the community, but there's always something going on in Marion City Schools. You know, some of it's positive and great. The media has, you know, promoted our robotics and some of the things that we've really been successful about, our literacy program. But I think when, you know, there's negative things that go on, it's just magnified because of, you know, what Marion City Schools represents within the community. You know, the other school districts, I mean, I think if you combine the other four school districts within the county, probably be about the same size. So, you know, you're taking a lot smaller districts and typically, you know, smaller communities. And, you know, the media does a good job of trying to spread the love around to the other districts. But I think Marion City, you know, is more of a focal point within the community. And there's a lot more that's happening that impacts more of the community. You know, and I know there's been some negativity, but there's a lot of positive things that are going on in Marion City schools. And it's hard, you know, I think in this day and age, you know, unfortunately, with social media that's now attached to that, I just think people sometimes feed off of that, you know, some of those negative things. And, you know, I think we get caught up in some of the social media responses, but when you look at it, you know, there may be 100 or so people that are tied to some of those social media posts. And like you said, there's 65,000 in the community. So it kind of just gets magnified to a certain extent, in my opinion.
I want to talk a lot about the good things that are going on in Marion City mm-hmm. schools. But before we part this particular issue, something that is interesting, because I have not attended every Marion City School Board meeting, mm-hmm. but I do remember going to a board meeting which had a lot of tenseness surrounding masks mm-hmm. Last year.
Yeah.
Now, that was the previous board. And right. that board seemed to be... basically, I'm not saying they were all of the same mind, but there wasn't any infighting within the board. There wasn't any name-calling. Even though it was a tense issue, the board seemed to function okay. And then a new board came in January, and right off the bat, there were emails being sent to staff members, bypassing administration. There were articles in the newspaper, the board members going to the newspaper with stories. You know, somebody's got to call the Columbus media to come down here, because they don't just show up at school board meetings in Marion, Ohio. And making comments, and we've talked about it, you know, about your tenure. A school board president exits about 2 months after the new school board comes in. Have to go to Judge Fregali to pick the new school board member because the school board can't agree on it, which unprecedented. I think that is what is unique right now to Marion City Schools. And also, after that happened, after that change happened, we see this exodus and all these changes. How much did that play into it, the new school board?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of times, you know, that happens. This isn't kind of my first rodeo when it comes to, you know, school districts having a change in the leadership. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I came on board and after we had, you know, when Gary Barber left and then we had Steve Fuji as an interim, and that kind of, you know, that situation over a year. I think when I first got to Marion, I think people forget this, the first year I got there, we had to hire 60 teachers. So, you know, it's not the first time that Marion City has seen turnover in staff. Now, at the level of which we've seen it in the past year, with a lot of top-level administrators leaving, that's somewhat unique. But, you know, anytime there's changes in leadership, it seems to disrupt, you know, the normal, I don't know what you want to call it, day-to-day operations, because people have some different ideas about, you know, how the district should be run. You know, I think it took a while, you know, for us, and I'm sure it's going to also take a while, you know, for the district once they get a new superintendent. I think, you know, we've got already Olympia Della Flores is coming in to be the assistant superintendent, who has a terrific background and has experience in Columbus City and working with kids with trauma. So I think as you get to the point where you start to develop this shared vision, and that's the key, it's got to be a shared vision. And hopefully, you know, as they move forward in Marion City, they're able to have those conversations, you know, review the strategic plan and make sure that everybody's on the same page with what it's going to take, you know, to continue to move the district forward and provide the best education for the kids possible, given the circumstances of where they're at. So, you know, I think that, again, anytime there's changes in leadership, it takes some time to get to the point where you get a shared vision. And I hope that, you know, that would be the case, where, you know, even if you have to have someone come in and facilitate those conversations, I think, you know, that the school board, the administration, and both associations really need to sit down and have some conversations about, you know, let's develop that shared vision right now so that we can move forward and you know, really try to come to some consensus about, you know, what direction we're headed in.
When we look at the upcoming school year, which will start now in just a matter of weeks, when you start a school year with all these new people in the administration, still positions open for teachers and other things, bus routes being eliminated, is this going to be a difficult year for Marion City, do you think?
Well, again, you know, Scott, I think it's not, you know, and sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, if you will. It's not the first time that we've had, you know, these ideas where we've had to hire teachers, you know, in the last 2 weeks before school started. And, you know, even throughout the 5 years that I was in Marion City, you know, every year we were faced with something similar, maybe not to the amount that they're facing right now. But, you know, I've always said, I mean, we, you know, our teachers are going to be there the first day of school. We'll have everything in place, and, you know, we'll educate the kids, you know, to the best of our ability all the time. I mean, again, you know, this, I think people feel like this is unique to Marion City Schools. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of colleagues spread out, not only in the state of Ohio, but all over the country, and belong to, you know, a lot of committees and having the same conversations about, you know, how you handle these things. It's more prevalent than ever in many school districts, not just Marion City. So, you know, I mean, I think the community can rest assured that everything will be in place on August 15th to make sure the kids are ready and educated.
In your 5 years at Marion City Schools, what would you say you have learned in the education profession, or learned about yourself being here?
Well, you know, I guess in the years I've spent in Marion City Schools were very unique, and because of the pandemic, you know, I absolutely knew, you know, what to expect when I came into Marion. I had looked at all the data. I had, you know, developed some relationships with folks even before I came to Marion, because, you know, we had partnered on a few things in my, where I was previously. You know, we partnered on a straight A grant together. So I had worked with people from Marion. I was very familiar with the community. And, you know, where I'm from in the Youngstown area, you know, the Youngstown City School District, which I worked very closely with, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, it was classified as the worst school district in the state of Ohio and had to come under the Academic Distress Commission. So, you know, struggling urban districts is something that I'm familiar with. And so I fully expected that we had a lot of work to do, you know, in relation to making sure the literacy program was adequate and up to date and up to speed. You know, we were going to deal with emotional problems. We had to address behaviors and make sure, you know, when we started to do, you know, withdraw schools, that the intent behind that was to really, you know, give kids an option that really struggled with everyday life. So all of those things were meant to go into place, you know, and those aren't easy to implement from the beginning. Now put the pandemic on top of that. And what I learned was, you know, there were times, and I have 18 years experience as a superintendent, but there were times when I felt like I was in my first year because I did not have the answers. And there weren't a lot of resources out there for us to give us direction on how to handle those situations. And of course, then the, you know, the country becomes divided on the pandemic. You know, is there really a pandemic? You know, is it as bad as people make it seem? Is the media blowing this up? Is it a political thing? You know, you mentioned the mask. Do we wear masks? Don't we wear masks? Vaccines, should we require them? Shouldn't we? So, you know, nobody has ever really faced those types of issues in education. So, you know, it's unfortunate during my tenure in Marion that, you know, we had to deal with the pandemic. But I can tell you this, Scott, I'm proud of the fact that, you know, we made it through. We didn't have, you know, a serious outbreak. We didn't have a situation where, you know, we had to, you know, go entirely remote for the whole year like some districts did. We continued to build on, you know, our strategic plan and continued to do, you know, things to make improvements, even though it felt like one step up, two steps back, you know, every time during those 2 years, really, that we were dealing with the pandemic. So that's a long answer, but, you know, that's one of the things I think, you know, part of the regret for the entire community is, you know, you think about the kids who graduated this past year. I mean, their 3 years of school, their last 3 years of high school were not normal. And I feel bad for those kids. I mean, a lot of those kids did not, you know, the first spring, we canceled spring sports. You know, those seniors that year missed out. You know, a lot of those kids then, you know, during the pandemic, I mean, the football team, you know, we didn't know if they were going to play on a week-to-week basis because, you know, they didn't know, you know, if their opponents were going to, you know, have to cancel because of COVID, or we were going to have to cancel because of COVID. You know, Jamie Pearson comes in his first year as a basketball coach and had to miss 3 or 4 games because of COVID. So, you know, those kinds of things I regret, you know, but I feel like we still made it through.
You know, it just so happens I was in a Marion City school building when the announcement came down that spring break was going to be extended. Everybody needed to be have their MacBook at home and be ready for this. And at that time, that's what it was. And that seemed a little unprecedented at the time. And boy, oh boy, what followed was just unbelievable. And I can't imagine what it was like inside of all that decision making.
Well, you know, I'll never forget it. I mean, it was a Thursday, I believe. I feel like it was somewhere around March 16th, and we knew, you know, things were starting to ramp up with COVID, and, you know, obviously Governor DeWine came on and made that announcement during the day. I think it was at noon. And my whole team, administrative team, I think we left the office that night somewhere around 11 o'clock. And we called it the war room, actually. So we, you know, dedicated one of our conference rooms and all the whiteboards and just started writing notes. What do we have to do? What comes next? You know, those kinds of things. And then, you know, we plugged in our communications folks because we knew we had to communicate, you know, and I thought that was one of the things that we did really well during the pandemic, because I think I did a one call just about almost every day during that spring just to make sure families were updated. You remember, Scott, we focused on feeding families. During that time, we were sending out 30,000 meals a week. You know, I was on a bus delivering lunches and those kinds of things to kids within the community. And that, you know, one of the things we focused on was making sure our kids still ate, you know, and then we had to get Chromebooks. And I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, we did that in, I think it was Thursday. We had Friday to prepare. We gave the kids off Monday. The teachers came in that day, and then the actual pandemic issue started on Tuesday. So what's that, like 4 days to prepare for educating kids in a pandemic? So, you know, a lot of people in Marion City deserve a lot of credit for that. The entire district worked really hard to make sure, from the bus drivers to the cooks, the teachers, the administrators, you know.
Everybody did
their part.
When you look back at this 5-year period, what is the high for you? What would you say was the best time?
Oh, you know, there's no question the times that I was able to spend with the kids were the best times. I really enjoyed being in the buildings and having those relationships with a lot of the kids, you know, that I was able to get to know. You know, I think of a kid like Rashawn Turner. You know, like I met him, I think, when he was in eighth grade, when his parents opened up Attaboy's. And, you know, I remember looking at him and saying, wow, kid, you got great size. You're going to be a great, you know, as long as you keep your grades up, you're going to be okay. And, you know, watching him go through all those times and, you know, being able to give him a hug when he walked across the stage on at graduation, those are the kinds of things that, you know, really stick with me. And I guess that's, you know, that's the whole why behind you do those, you know, the reason why you do those kinds of things is, you know, for the Rashawn Turners of the world and all those guys that, you know, you develop those relationships with, and you get to watch him grow. And, you know, he's going to John Carroll, and he's going to play football. He's going to one of the best schools in the state of Ohio, and that's just awesome. So, you know, those are the things that stick in my mind.
When it comes time to say goodbye to the staff that you went through this pandemic with, were there that day when the war room was assembled.
Yep.
What's it like to say goodbye to them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And I just want to show appreciation, you know, to them for all of the work that they did, especially, you know, to come to work under those very, very difficult and unprecedented situation with the pandemic. You know, they had to completely, you know, change their mindset. They were willing to come in and do what they needed to do. You know, even amidst the fear, you know, when COVID first hit, I mean, it was like a plague, you know, and people were scared to death. You know, they were scared that, and, you know, don't forget, during that time period, I lost my mom to COVID. So, you know, that became very personal for me as well. So, you know, I would say to the staff, you know, I just appreciate what they've done and how much they persevered throughout this whole situation with the pandemic.
You know, a lot of talk always goes around in a school district about the teachers and the students. For somebody who's been there 5 years hands-on, what would you tell the community about the teachers and the students at Marion City Schools?
You know, if you talk to our teachers, you know, and amidst the, you know, the amount of conversations that have gone on about discipline and, you know, where the kids are at, you know, our teaching staff is truly there, you know, for the kids. I mean, and really care about the kids. And, you know, when they talk about the discipline, a lot of that, those staff members are approaching it from a point of concern that, you know, if we can't help these kids with their attitudes, you know, and their demeanor, and their leadership qualities, that, you know, it's going to affect them later on in life. They're really concerned about, you know, what's going to happen to these kids when they leave Marion City. You know, go into an elementary building and watch, you know, I mean, those kids that go to some of those elementary buildings, I mean, that's their family in many, many cases, you know, that's where they go to get the love and support. You know, you go into Tina Barnes's room, you know, over at Garfield, and watch her interact with kids and how, you know, those kids love her and think the world of her. And they, you know, you walk into her room and there's five kids just, you know, hanging on her legs or clinging to her because they know how much she cares about those kids. So, you know, that's what I would say about that, is those kids have a lot of respect for the teachers. They feel like, you know, that's some of their, you know, their go-to, their critical friends that they need. And, for the most part, you know, I know that, you know, it makes some of the media articles and those kinds of things makes it seem like the culture of Marion City is, you know, really negative. But, you know, there is really relationships that have been built between teachers and students there since I've been there, for sure.
It certainly has seemed this year, and I'm sure it's always been a problem, discipline in schools. Now, it was long ago that corporal punishment was taken out of certainly public schools. So this has not been a new thing. But for some reason, are these new problems, or are we just hearing about them now, the discipline problems?
You know, I think we're hearing about them a lot more. Again, you know, I think that everybody has, you know, kind of reached a boiling point, if you will, in relation to that. So, you know, the stress level of what's occurred over the last years have just magnified. And I think, you know, I mean, look at the amount of teachers that are just leaving the profession in general, not just in Marion City, and not just leaving Marion City to go somewhere else, but there are droves of teachers leaving the profession. because the last couple of years have been so stressful. And then to come back and having to deal with, you know, the effects of the pandemic or the effects of trauma impacted youth has just become almost unbearable. And so I think that's what you're seeing right now is, you know, really, and you know, the answer to that is, you know, very difficult to come up with. I mean, if we had the answers, you know, we'd be in much different situations. But I think it's going to take a lot of conversations, you know, and somehow, again, to be able to engage the community in those conversations is one of the keys to that.
When you look back, 2020 is always, hindsight is always 2020. What would you have done differently if you could now?
What would I have done differently? You know, I think that one of the things I think that it's difficult to do, and I know the staff and having those conversations, you know, really from an administrative standpoint, to really get out more into the buildings and work with staff members on a more, you know, personal level, I think is something that we tried to do. I think that would have been one of the things that we would have tried to do a much better job of. Again, you know, we were leaning in those directions to try to make sure, like, you know, that we had different administrative meetings in different buildings and doing those kinds of things. But again, you know, we were trying to limit the amount of traffic in and out of buildings there for a while, and I think that really had an effect. So, you know, just being able to be able to connect more with staff members would be something that I wish I could have done a lot more of, because we do have some great staff, and you know, the times that I did was able to visit classrooms and watch our teachers and our kids in action, it was great. I wish I would have been able to do that, but you know, I really don't have any regrets. I really appreciate, you know, I don't think people realize the amount of involvement that Marion City Schools has within the community. You know, I was able and fortunate to serve on the Marion Can Do Board, on the United Way Board. I was a Rotarian and a Kiwanian. And so, you know, trying to engage Marion City Schools within the community and embed them was, you know, something I think that I'm proud of, and I don't have any regrets on doing those kinds of things. I mean, the relationships and the collaboration with, you know, Marion Technical College, you know, Ryan and his staff, we've done so much with Greg Rose and his staff. We partnered with them very much. You know, Gus Comstock and Marion Can Do, and, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and all of those organizations, you know, Kurt Kingrich at Ohio Health. I'm thinking about all of the things that we partnered on and try to do together. I don't think a lot of people see those kinds of things, but, you know, that's a key component of Marion City Schools being really embedded in trying to work with those other organizations to improve the community.
What would you say is the state of education right now, just in general?
Well, I think it's in a state of emergency. I really do. I think that, you know, there's a large concern over the decrease in the amount of people who are actually, you know, going into education. I forget which state I think it was Florida maybe that, you know, has said, you know, if you have a military background, not only you, but also your spouse can go and actually start teaching if you have like 20 hours post-secondary education. So, you know, when we're having to do those kinds of things, what you think about it, I mean, many of our teachers spent 4 or 5 years, you know, getting a degree to be able to go in to a classroom. I mean, we would never, you know, give an opportunity for somebody to go in the medical field, you know what I mean, just because they were a veteran or anything like that. Not to say that's anything against veterans, but that should tell you we're at a critical mass point in education, because people aren't signing up for the job anymore. And so, you know, why is that? You know, number one, it's a very difficult job. Number two, the pay isn't great anymore. You know, there are many more career opportunities that pay a lot more than a starting teacher salary, that's for sure. And I think, you know, our legislators need to step up to the plate and do something. You know, I was talking to some of our legislators about, you know, what are you going to do to, you know, attract more teachers into the field? And I think they need to step up and do that. So I think, yeah, it's very critical right now. I'm very concerned about, you know, where education's headed.
You know, 20 years ago, in Ohio, certainly, we had an abundance of teachers. It seemed like everybody was going into the education profession, and there weren't enough jobs to go around. And you had to have certain, you know, certifications to get in that you didn't have to have in other states. What happened in the last 20 years? Because the pay wasn't that great then starting out either. But something has changed.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had that answer, Scott. I can tell you, you know, when I... over 30 years ago, my first teaching job, and I lived in Youngstown, my first teaching job was in Ashtonville, Ohio, and I drove 65 miles each way because that was the job that I found, you know what I mean? And I was a high school social studies teacher, and every job that I, you know, I happened to be a football coach, which kind of helped me along the way too, because, you know, we've seen a decrease in the amount of people that are willing to do those, you know, supplemental positions as well. Again, I just think that, you know, we have been stuck in the Stone Ages with the value of a four-year bachelor's degree in education. You know, I mean, a four-year bachelor's degree in a lot of other fields, when you're coming out of school, you know, pay a lot more. I mean, if you went to school for 4 years and you've accumulated, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 of debt, and you come out in your first year and you make $30,000, I mean, it doesn't make much sense. So I think that's the key. I think, you know, the economy has gone in one direction, and I think education has fallen behind. And, you know, look at it. You know, how many successful new levies happen in school districts these days over the last 10 years? I mean, 20 years ago, it was a no-brainer. You know, if a district came to the community and said we need more money, you know, to do this and that, to take care of our kids, it was a no-brainer. Now, you know, communities just don't want to put that investment in the kids as much as they used to. And so I think that's part of the issue, you know, that we've fallen behind in. I mean, you know, public education is a right, and it needs to be funded properly as well. And it needs to, you know, we need to catch up with the times.
You know, when you look at all school districts and speaking here directly of Marion City, we remember the superintendents. You mentioned a few of them earlier on who preceded you in this position, and you certainly have been here during a unique time in Marion City schools, the pandemic and some other things that have went on. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you hope people remember your time here?
Well, you know, I've always, you know, kind of prided myself on what I thought in education, my goals were to help as many kids as possible. And again, you know, given the pandemic and still being able to, you know, get kids to the graduation point, to get them to cross that finish line, I would hope that that's, you know, that's a legacy that people would say that, you know, we were able to get through some of the most difficult times and still educate the kids, and that whatever we were doing in the district when I was there was intended to continually improve on what we offer for kids in education.
Mm. Well, Dr. Arusi, I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning, and I want to say, because I do want to let the audience know this, that I've had the chance to work for the last 20 years in radio here in Marion with a lot of superintendents, and during this period, I can never remember in the last 20 years, to be honest, anybody who was ever as readily available during such a hectic time as Dr. Arusi was. I mean, a lot of times you came on within an hour. Some announcement went out, and I said, can you come on? And we got it done, and sometimes it was to the wire, and I can't remember a time that you ever were not able to come on and discuss whatever the topic was, and sometimes they were very serious and difficult things to talk about. So I appreciate your time here, and I know the work you've put in, and, you know, best of luck, and hopefully we'll be able to stay in touch.
Well, yeah, absolutely, Scott. And I, you know, certainly respect and admire what you do in a community, and I know you are kind of a pipeline for information, and so it's mutually beneficial for us, I think, and that's part of the reason I know that people respect you and listen to you, and so it's been an opportunity for me to communicate through you to the community some important values and things that are going on. So I appreciate the work you do there, and I know a lot of people feel the same way about that.
Thank you so much, and best of luck on your new adventure.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Ron Arusi, last day as superintendent of the Marion City Schools. And it is absolutely true. Very short notice some mornings for Dr. Arusi to come on. And I cannot recall any other superintendent who was as available and just really open about whatever was going on. We never had a predetermined discussion about don't talk about this, talk about this. That didn't happen with Dr. Arusi, so we wish him well in his future endeavors. Ticket giveaways come up at 10, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker comes up in about 15 minutes. Don't go away.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to